Hey everybody, this is Albert Escobedo, your host for the Pet Peeves podcast. Just asking if you like my podcast, if you're enjoying the content and what you're listening to, become a sponsor. Find the link on the Anchor, the sponsor link on my Anchor website, and or on the SoundCloud website. Wherever you find the descriptions for these episodes, you can find the link to become a sponsor. For $1 a month, $5 a month, $10 a month, help the podcast grow. Thank you guys very much. Thank you for listening. Bye. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Pet Peeves Podcast. We have another great episode for you guys. This is episode number 38 with one of my Goon Squad members, one of my good friends, Yema Nkele. What's going on, Yema?
How you doing, Albert? I appreciate you, bro. Thanks for having me on.
No problem, man. Thank you for coming by. You had to come out to Inglewood, and you know, you're one of many great comedians that I've had on the podcast, so I just welcome you. And you know, it's always like I tell people, it's my fucking pleasure. Thank you for doing it. Thank you for coming by. What do you think of the place?
I'm so happy. I appreciate this so much. I'm so full right now. Like, I've been stuffed with food. It's great. I love your setup. It's really dope.
I love this open
light air situation where you get to have all natural light.
Yeah.
It's real sexy.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And thank you. Give it up to my wife, Diana, for decorating, and then me for being a strong minimalist based on my Asian culture influence, that the more shit you have in your place, the more shit you have to clean, and the harder it is to keep your place clean if you have a lot of stuff. Minimalist for cleanliness. As long as you have more shit, there's more shit to dust and move and clean underneath and collect shit. Go ahead.
What a tasteful way to say that she didn't let you keep anything.
No.
Like, what a tasteful way to be like, she didn't really care. And so she just kind of put what she wanted. And, you know, I'm fine with it because I didn't really want anything anyway.
No, that's true.
I was never even interested in stuff.
No, that's not the way it is. I didn't have any say in the decorating. I'm going to put that out there. But she wants a table. And I'm like, we don't really need one. I like the openness. Like, we don't really need the table. You know what I mean? And she wants one. And the same thing, like, and it's just, is again, like, it's not necessarily my situation, but I know that as soon as you get, like, cabinets, you start filling it with shit. As soon as you get drawers, you start filling it with shit. But if you don't have any drawers, or you don't have any cabinets, and you don't have any, you know, place to hide your mess, you have less mess. It's just the way it is.
I was taught at a very young age by my grandmother, you take everything, you put it in the closet, and then you shut it up.
All right.
And then your room is clean. That my mom is gonna forever regret letting my grandma handle that. Because she's like, no, I'll just talk to them. And she did. And she's like, just put it all in the closet. And so yeah. Sometimes it's easier that way. Everyone's happier. Sometimes it's not hiding a mess. It's preventing a mess. That's how I feel about it. Sometimes you just need to make use of drawers and cupboards.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Hiding the mess.
Not hiding it.
It's like sweeping under the rug or the same thing. It's what everybody does. But you could avoid it by not having shit. But then you look at it minimalistically, or you could just be broke and not have shit. And then suddenly you have feng shui. You know what I mean? It depends how you look at it.
I'm just saying, at some point in time, all those half energized batteries that you have in all these drawers.
Yeah, I got them.
they're going to come into effect. And that's why you need drawers to keep for
that hoarder mentality.
When they can't be used for anything except for three channels on the remote control.
You get a couple clicks.
Just three channels. All I need is to be.
And you got
to
switch the batteries if you want to change the channel later.
I just need to put it get to channel 296.
You need to turn it off and on. That's what's up, because I always, man, I was like, who doesn't have, did you guys keep them in the freezer or the refrigerator, the dead batteries? The myth that makes them live longer?
It's not a myth.
It is a myth. We looked it up. It's on Mythbusters.
I don't give a fuck about Mythbusters.
Mythbusters shattered my grandmother's philosophy. My grandmother, RIP, had a baggie, like a freezer baggie full of batteries in her freezer my entire life, my whole life. There was a section of the freezer dedicated to dead batteries that I don't know if she ever tried reusing. You know what I mean?
I know for a fact, I don't care what Mythbusters says. I know that you can take a Game Boy, a Game Boy Color that didn't work the day before, take those batteries, put them in the freezer, and get home playing that same Game Boy Color home the next day.
I mean, that could
I've done the field research.
You've done it? You've done the case studies?
I've done the field research, and...
Well, what I know is, like, for sure that I've had batteries that didn't work, and I, like, flip them around, and then it works. So there's always, like, a little bit of life left in them. However you could suck that little bit of life out is up to you. It's cultural. It's cultural. You believe everybody does that? I don't think white people do that.
I don't think that they do.
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure that's not a white person thing. But I'm pretty sure they just go buy new batteries.
But trailer parks exist.
That's true. They're very much like Mexicans. They have a lot in common.
Yeah, once you get to a trailer park, your white people become Mexicans.
Yeah. That's exactly right. Exactly right. That's the best thing, though. That's why I like poor white people.
Yeah. The poor... It's a hard blanket statement for me to throw out there. But I know a lot of cool white people.
At least grew up poor.
Of the cool white people I know, lots of them grew up poor.
At least grew up poor. Maybe you made it, but at least you have some perspective.
Yeah.
I don't mind that. Especially, like, I don't know, people I grew up with. I feel like I grew up in a fortunate area. We're pretty diverse. Like, my high school was, like, half white and then half other. And the other was mostly black, a few Latino and a few Asians. But, I mean, because even the white kids were at least exposed to culture as opposed to other places I've been.
I went to a school that was predominantly Asian.
Wow.
And then white, and then a couple black and Latinos. But yeah, it was cool though.
There's at least some diversity.
Yeah, it was straight up diversity because I learned.
That's wild.
That's when I got good at gambling. used to just go to the Korean kids' table and they used to just play Texas Hold'em all day.
For real?
Yeah, it was.
That's cool.
It's where I got my addiction to gambling.
No shit.
At those tables.
That's crazy. It's illegal in South Korea, gambling, because so many Korean men like lost their shirts, lost their houses, you know what I mean? So they made it illegal. Now if you go to a casino in South Korea, it's Chinese people or Taiwanese people gambling. Or foreigners like me, Americans. The Korean people can't even get in. You have to have a foreigner passport.
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that wild?
Huh. That's nuts.
Yeah, they realize it's bad for their society, so they made it illegal. But they'll let other people come and give their country their money.
Yeah, that's what it is. You're just for it. Huh. That's...
But I think they found a correlation. The way that I understood it, that the correlation was between the alcoholism, which is rampant in South Korea, and gambling. That men were getting wasted and losing their whole shit. And so they made it illegal. Dude, if I got to say one thing, and on record, I know a lot of people listen to this podcast now. Korean people are competitive, dude. They're competitive. They are very competitive. They like to win. And that's not saying anything bad about them. That's something that all cultures should learn. And they help each other. That's the thing. A Korean person will help another Korean person for sure, like that.
And that's just crazy. Like, there is a 0% chance that the American government would ever be like, yo, too many people are losing money. We can't have our citizens go through this.
Yes.
As long as somebody was getting rich, it would happen forever.
Yeah, like here, they would never
stop it in America. That's why I really just have my mind blown right now.
Hell yeah, dude. And it made you respect the culture. A lot of things. A lot of things make you respect the culture that it wouldn't never fly here because we're fucking arrogant assholes. But, you know, it is what it is. They do have that Confucius, you know, culture where it's like the older people get more fucking rights and younger people have less rights, and depending what your position is in life, whether laws agree with it or not, the culture accepts that there is like a different, like not all people are equal, you know what I mean? And that's I like that. I like that there's some structure to their culture as far as who has more influence and who people should listen to and who deserves more respect just based on common courtesy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you should listen to your teacher. You should listen to your mom. You should listen to your blah, blah. You know, just simple fucking things like that. Nothing crazy. Nothing, like, militant.
They uphold their social contracts.
Yeah.
Or at least they have a general understanding of how they want their society to run.
Yeah.
At some point, you know what's crazy? I think the same people have been ruining America the whole time.
Okay.
it's they just keep getting older, and then they get a little bit more like, and then they move into more power. It's the same kids. It's the same people who wanted their kids to have participation trophies, because the kids who got the participation trophies didn't care. They didn't know anything different.
Their parents cared.
Their parents were sick of their kids not getting trophies because their kids suck.
Yeah.
Because they were bad parents. Because
people live through their kids like it's a disease. It's weird.
Yeah. Those same people are the same people who are like, if you touch my kid or yell at my kid, I'm going to sue the school.
Mm-hmm.
And so then those kids started just talking to the teachers crazy like they knew shit. And
in Korea, they let you, like, the teachers, it's not, like, spoken of or known, but you can hit the kids. Like, if they're getting out of line, you can definitely hit the kids. And I think that shit came out, like, viral for sure.
I taught in Nigeria for 2 years.
Okay, yeah? What's it like?
Our schools, the school's specific policy was that we don't whoop.
Okay.
As a country, whoopings happen.
Right.
Teachers specific, like, not teachers, parents specifically came up to me and were like, hey, I know that you guys are a non-whooping school, but let him say something else in class. You got my permission to slap the shit out of him.
Yeah, that's kind of how it was.
It was 100% like, where it's like, the parents know what's up. Yeah,
and after you like try to help the kid without fucking physical force, and you have a meeting with your boss or the other teachers, because I don't speak their language, right? So I had to like tell my boss, this kid's not fucking doing what I ask him to do. And then they were like, just don't hit him above the legs. That's what they tell me. Don't hit him above the legs. Below the waist down is okay.
Hey, like, and because I never
so you can, like, spank them is what they're saying.
Yeah, and I never really had to do it, but the difference is the psychology of the kid is I can't do. They just know I can't do whatever I want without there being consequences.
Right,
and I don't even think that the teacher should be allowed to hit kids.
No,
but it did get. We did cross a line where it's like, you can't grab a kid by his arm for trying to punch another kid without running the risk of losing your job as a teacher.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, no, it's like, it should be understood that
I was trying to prevent a worse.
I was trying to if I'm going to grab you, I'm going to grab you. Mm-hmm. And guess what? If I need to,
it's going
to
hurt.
Yeah. If this kid's going to try and slap me, I should be able to put him in a fucking triangle choke.
Yeah. A fucking full Nelson or whatever.
Yeah. Like, yeah. If I'm maybe
just
not
restraint.
Yeah. If I don't need to punch him, but I should be able to give him a full ass arm bar
or a headlock.
Yeah.
Or anything.
Noogies.
Yeah.
Anything that's going to just straight be like, yo,
some
knock it off.
Bigger brother shit.
Yeah. Like, knock it off. Yeah.
That especially that like the when they feel like strength for the first time, kids, because they're not getting it at home. The bad ones are obviously not getting it at home, not when they're that young. I was teaching fucking kindergarten, and so that's like the kids were just testing you. They're just testing you. They want to see how far they can get.
They don't, because the great thing is, especially because you did wrestling, so
yeah.
I know you have a definite grasp of it.
Oh yeah,
I really honestly truly think, right, aside from your elite like scouted high school player.
Right.
And even a scouted high school player, I would still argue I'm probably stronger than him. They don't have access to grown man strength.
They do not.
It's a different kind of strength. I don't know exactly what the difference is because it's...
I think you just know your body. Like, yeah, you know weight,
it's
you
not
know
like
leverage.
It's not a weight, like I lift more weights thing.
It's a leverage thing.
It's just a different, like, nah.
Uh-huh. That's not going
to
work.
I know how to tap into, like, how to really, if I really need to get it, like, it's just a different thing. That
it is. It's an instinct.
Yeah, because
you've been through it. You learn from battles, dude. That's what a warrior is. You've been through some battles, so like a little battle doesn't even scare you.
Yeah,
you're just
so like I think there's
it's,
just,
it's a rookie. It's a rookie thing.
I don't think. Yeah, it's just like 100%.
What were you talking about? Your 10,000 hours? It's like that. Like,
yeah, I don't think like you're like 20 years old.
Uh-huh.
Is your body just, I don't know, stable enough to really just be like, nah, this is my, just nah.
Unless you're like a trained fighter, you got these, like you said, a high school wrestler. I don't know. It depends how good he is. That's but what, even then, like you see these high school wrestlers who think they can fight and then they can't.
But even if you say that, right? Yeah. When you have a high school wrestler, even a really high quality high school wrestler, I don't know. But I feel like the difference between a freshman in college or even if you go the elite NBA players, the difference between, I know that it's an adjustment period of the freshman, like adjustment period, but I really feel like a sophomore is a different, or a junior is a different thing than a freshman in college.
Yeah, they're still like a baby.
It's just like, and it doesn't matter how strong, like, they just don't have it. It's just,
but there are some phenoms.
There are phenoms. That's what I'm saying. There are exceptions. LeBron. All right. Yeah.
That's like a one in a million.
LeBron is also, nigga, still 17 years in the league and still a premier player physically.
Right. So it's not the norm. Yeah.
Like,
he's a freak.
He's a physical. That's
anomaly. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's like, there's some people that's obvious physical.
No, but you're right. You're right. Like, when I was like, even at the high school that I taught at, there was a little wrestling program, you know, there was, and then it got shut down because we didn't have funding. Even though wrestling is the cheapest fucking sport, right? You need a mat and a singlet and some headgear.
I imagine it's insurance problem.
They just didn't have the funding for what they said was bus rides to meets. They didn't have the insurance to cover the away games, and that they didn't have the funding to pay bus drivers and have buses and shit like that. I was like, whatever, it doesn't matter. But those tough kids that thought that they could fight and shit would come to try to wrestle because UFC had gotten big by that time. Mm-hmm. So they would see like wrestling leading to fighting, and as tough as they were, strong as they were, like they don't know how to wrestle, right? So you could get their respect quickly, that there's something they can learn, right? That it's not just about brawling, that there's a technique involved. And they opened up like that, though. They were very receptive. They want to learn how to fight. These kids are like, oh shit, if I fought somebody like you, I wouldn't even know what to do. And it's like, okay, let's teach you. And they definitely were receptive. Of all the things that I tried to teach these kids, they loved to learn how to wrestle.
I don't know the most, you know, as not being one. And I have a son, he's 7, and so I'm still learning a lot of stuff. But I have 3 sisters, and just one thing I figured out is you need to humble boys. Like, I just feel like,
yeah.
And that's something that without, like, sometimes it's not because the idea of physical violence, like, it sounds really bad.
Mm.
But like those situations when you see a kid who's trying to be tough and he's sitting there punking this kid who obviously doesn't want any problems and is just like a kid that you know in his class who's a nerd and everybody knows he's like he's just not aggressive. Like, he's not an aggressive kid. And this aggressive kid picking on him, and then when you intervene, he want to act like he'll fight you too.
Yeah.
And you know that I don't have to fight you.
Yeah.
But I know also, I know how to bend your arm back where you will shut the fuck up for the rest of the day.
Their eyes go like this.
Yeah.
And you put them in like the headlock where, you know, like, if I squeeze a little bit, you're going to sleep, kid.
Yeah. Like,
I'm not sweating.
I'm not putting any pressure on you.
I'm not breathing hard.
I know the little pressure points where if I wanted to, I could just put my thumb under your rib.
Sure.
And it's just going to humble you enough where it's like, yo,
as pressure points,
tough
submissions,
as you think you are.
Yeah, but it's fun, man. I like that UFC is getting more popular and people are seeing like there's some obvious benefit to jiu-jitsu, wrestling, all that submission shit. Because you don't have to hurt people. You don't really you don't have to hurt them. You could just end the fight. And I really think that's something that people should look more into for like law enforcement and shit like that. And obviously, chokeholds is a big debate. But imagine if they were just really good at them. Then they would know when to let go. Like, and how many people die in a UFC fight?
I don't believe that.
No? You think they would take advantage every fucking time?
It's a lie. Like, when, as far as I'm concerned, when cops act like they don't know,
they fucking
know. It's a lie. It's one of those things that I have younger siblings, I have little cousins, I used to do backyard wrestling. I used to do
It's not a take brain surgeon.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah. When somebody lost consciousness.
When someone stops fighting back.
Yeah, when somebody stops fighting back, you know when you have somebody under control.
It's true.
Where we're done. And for the number of people that...
You know how long you would have to hold them? For like minutes.
You have to hold them...
Minutes.
You have to let... At very minimum, you've held somebody unconscious in your arms for a solid 40 seconds.
Yeah.
Minimum.
Yeah.
Before they start dead. Start worrying about brain damage.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. So you let somebody black out 40 seconds
kept holding.
It only take 10 seconds to count somebody out in a fight.
Hell yeah.
The way that these cops be acting like there's no way for them to figure it out, or how was I supposed to know?
Minutes went by.
Yeah, I've never seen somebody. I've seen people. If you watch a UFC fight, you are seeing two of the most elite stranglers in the world, most elite people in their craft fighting the next elite person and I've never even. I've never seen somebody just be so into it or lose so much or be so focused on winning or just their adrenaline is so high that when that person falls out, that that the referee immediately is like, yo, bro, he's done.
He's out.
You have four, like, you have other cops around, bro. Nah.
That they don't,
like,
say shit.
But nobody says shit. You can't realize no that. Yo, that he hasn't, he stops screaming a while ago.
So you think that that theory, well, let's take this shot. So, yeah, man, I'm just really glad you're here. And I know we're going to get into a thousand things. So let's take this shot. Let's fucking have a good
pets.
Podcast, man.
Haven't even mentioned a pet yet.
Yeah, just I'm just curious, and fuck, you know, we can get to pets towards the end because there's like some segments, but
yeah.
Like they say, don't defund the police, put some money into training them better. You think that's just a waste of money?
Waste of money.
You think, or no matter what? As long as they have a gun and a badge, they're dangerous.
We need to defund the police. One of the major things is today I was walking to the dispensary and went to go pay my rent. So I had to go to hit the bank. Hit the dispensary and then go to to get my money order, right? Walking from the house, hit that shit, do all three. So we're talking about 30, 40 minutes walking, right?
Okay.
Just to run my little errands in my little block. See this woman getting pulled over when I'm walking on my way. I literally see the whoop whoop happen.
Oh, that's what you had on your story.
Yeah, and she, okay. And so she gets pulled over. And so, yeah, it was in my story.
I didn't watch it, so but, yeah, I'm listening.
So all it's about, and so all it was I seen it when I was walking. I come back. Now there's a motorcycle cop, another SUV, and three cops are now talking to this woman at her car. Don't know what it is. Don't, you know. But what I do know is we have three cops. This woman was either a white brunette or Spanish. So she looks from behind the wheel. She's in a Honda. She's in a Prius. Mm. She from behind the wheel. She looked like she couldn't weigh more than 100 pounds.
Okay, definitely don't need three grown men.
We have three cops. We don't have three. We don't just have three cars. We don't just have three cops. We have three cops. Three of these cops are on three separate vehicles. Three separate vehicles to talk to one. Suspect, quote unquote, who's probably just gonna get a ticket.
Right.
You have three people who are driving burning gas that isn't just bad for the environment. You are just literally wasting resources.
Money,
you
resources.
All have your own car, but don't have your own shit to do.
They should look at correlations between number of cops at a scene and how often those scenes turn violent or destructive, because I think it's just a matter, like, people don't like being crowded. People don't like feeling bullied. Like, you ever been pulled into a meeting and all of a sudden there's like six people there to talk to you? Like, no matter what, you feel threatened. No matter what, you feel like this is excessive and unnecessary, that you shouldn't do that. Like, it's not necessary.
And as long as, in my experience, every cop car needs to call backup, defund them. If you have a cop car that's always 2 minutes away, you guys aren't doing shit.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are just in separate cars hanging out, and
hanging
then
out here,
you call each other
there.
And be like, hey, yo, let's go fuck with this person. And then you guys all pull up
gang
together
up.
Yeah, put two motherfuckers in a car, and if you guys aren't enough to handle the situation,
just two more motherfuckers.
It, no, just stop, nigga. Go do something else.
You're saying if you like, can't de-escalate with you two together and two full force cop cars.
If you need to call,
unless
otherwise,
it's like,
what are you good for?
Yeah.
And so I bet you if we cash one of those cars out and then fire one of those officers who isn't doing shit, and if you can just also go through their record of abuse and just be like, let's get rid of them. Start with cutting the ones that have the most complaints.
Yeah, let's start with the ones who have more than 100 or whatever. Just have some fucking random number that's probably exists.
While we're on the subject, it should also be an automatic fired loss of pension if you kill anybody and your body camera's off.
Oh, shit.
Like, imagine being a security guard at the bank and then...
The bank gets robbed, and you're like,
oh, we didn't turn the camera on today.
You'd lose your job.
What do you mean? You were supposed to save possibly, because even some of these is wellness checks. Mm-hmm. People getting shot during wellness checks, your camera off. What the fuck happened?
Yeah.
And then you just gonna make up a story, and then this person had 12 keys of heroin and was shooting ketamine as you walked in the door with a pistol in their hand.
Yeah.
Like these, then you concoct the most irrational stories you ever heard in your life. But yeah, and so that's my as long as I keep, as until the police know how to handle a traffic stop with one car, you're incompetent and unnecessary.
Yeah, I wonder. I wonder if they just like, you know, what they were thinking is only violent offenses should have armed police officers. Anything non-violent should be ticketed. Because, just like a fine. Like, imagine if that was a thing. Like, I need you to stop. Here's a ticket. And then you leave.
Yeah. just imagine how much you wouldn't care about being stopped by the police.
Right. You would just be like, my bad.
Couldn't look in your car.
Right.
Like, you wouldn't feel like you need to run if you just were like, if I run, they're going to fucking be like, my car is fucking... Everything that you can do with a cop pulling somebody over, you can do with a boot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like...
You don't need a person for that.
Yeah.
Someone I know your car isn't is a registered. Good driver, yeah. Take their vehicle away, not their freedom or their fucking... Even that moment where they're afraid.
Yeah.
It's unnecessary.
So it's like,
it's over a traffic...
If you start chasing a car and whatever... We have the technology where you can figure, you can track this license plate. You know exactly who it belongs to. You can figure out if it was stolen. And then that's where the people who pass the detective exam, because there's cops and then there's detectives.
Right.
Which means that if you are a cop, you couldn't pass the detective exam. Mm. Which means what are you good for? You don't know how to solve crimes.
Right.
All you do is pull up and then give a report to the detective.
Right.
What are you good for?
I don't know. They're just like little spies, I guess, with too much power. They're little fucking, they just infiltrate until, and they're not invited.
Until I meet a cop, or I guess it's too late at this point. All my friends are grown up now. But until I meet a cop who I couldn't beat up in high school, I'll believe that they're not. Like, every single one of them I know couldn't win a fight in high school. And that's why they like to hang out and called a second car for a girl in a Prius.
And you saw that today. It's never going to end, man. That's like, well, with defunding, I guess, because then they won't have so many people. They won't have that like military background or the backing that they have, all that fucking equipment that's for literally like war, and they have it to like go to your house if you sell drugs. You know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't make sense. So if you defunded them, they would take all that away, sell it, put it back in the neighborhoods, and then it would, what? It's, better schools, better paid teachers, fucking after school activities.
It's just, if you think about it, right? I can't think of an activity that police officers do aside from violate your civil rights.
The
only thing that a cop does that is useful to anybody is emergency medical. Is emergency medical situations.
Yeah.
And that's just because they happen to be the closest person and happen to have the emergency response training.
A car that goes, woo, 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 so people get out of their way.
So that they can get there first.
Yeah.
You give that same thing to somebody else, train them in the medical and all that, and that first response.
You mean an EMT?
Stuff. Yeah. And just,
ambulance pretty much does like 90% of a cop's job.
If you gave the CVS security guard a car that went whoop, 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 and gave that nigga medical training, he's a cop for the next three blocks. And he'd be a better cop than the real cops.
That's wild.
Because he sees dope fiends all day. He knows which ones are cool. He knows which ones is going to try and steal shit. And he knows how to get them out of the store without fucking choking them to death.
Yeah, man, imagine if everybody that was like in law enforcement or just whatever, enforcing peace, that they all were just medically trained. I feel like if you recognize mental illness as a disease, if you recognize addiction as a disease, if you recognize depression as a disease, and recognize that if you choke somebody for over a minute, they're gonna fucking die because you have medical training, I think that would help.
Just basic understandings of life.
Yeah, how life works.
If you understand how life
biology,
works.
A little bit of high school bio, freshman level shit.
I find it's wild and also very... It does also put me at ease to know that my barber has more training than a police officer. It makes me very uneasy.
Explain.
No, not about like, it makes me very uneasy about the police and getting shot on a day-to-day basis.
Why, is your barber like used to be a nurse or something?
Huh?
Your barber used to be a nurse or something?
No. I just like knowing
that. As an analogy?
That before before my fade gets touched, that...
He's sanitizing his instruments.
That he's gone through the proper training to make sure he's not gonna fuck up my head. But like,
it's a skill.
Yeah, my lineup's gonna be fresh, but also this cop is gonna be accurate. Like that's all the cop is trained to be, is to pull out. That's it. Like, this nigga can't do, like, your cop can't give you a part. Your cop can't fucking
can't give you a job. Like, can't help you get a scholarship.
I've never had a cop pull me over and be like, "Hey, yo, you got like, I know a nigga who got like ace for like 20 right now." Like, I've never had a cop hit me with a hookup, nigga. Yeah. Nothing.
Pull me over and be like, "Hey, man, I know a guy who can fix that dent on the side of your car."
Yeah, like. Cops never,
anything like that.
A cop's never pulled me over and just been like, "Hey, yo, did you see Shody at the corner though?
Let me go pull her over. I need a wingman."
A cop pulled me over and was just like, I just needed to tell somebody. See if somebody seen that.
No, never, ever has a cop ever said anything cool to me, ever. Nothing but shitty shit or nothing. Like, nothing positive ever. And I guess it's because of the way that I look. I can't be sure. I'm sure it has something to do with it. And I've been racially profiled, but only like once where it was really severe. Other than every time I've been pulled over, I assume race is involved. But other than that, like, just one time I borrowed my friend's shorts to run to the bathroom at a fucking river or a water park. And the police security grabbed me and pulled me to the side. And they were like, "Oh, you think you're a gangster? We'll take you to where the gangsters hang out. You want to sag your pants like that? You think you're a gangster?" And I'm like, I go to college. I'm in pre-veterinary classes. Like, I just borrowed my friend's shorts real quick to run to the bathroom. But they didn't want to listen to me. They were literally about to grab me and put me in a police car because my pants were falling down. They were going to take me away if people didn't know me and say, hey, no, he's cool. He's with us. And other than that, I had never experienced like direct racism. But in that moment, I was like, oh, it's real. It exists. For all the people that say it doesn't exist, like, "Oh, I bet you're white. I bet you're white."
I have so many.
Mm-hmm. I bet. Yeah, I bet.
Like, I grew up in the burbs. First time getting pulled over was I was 10. My brother was 13, just walking home from school. And just got asked, "What are we doing here?" My brother had to show his middle school ID just to prove that we loot. Do you know how ridiculous it is?
Pull over children.
For a kid to have to figure out, how am I going to prove I live in this neighborhood?
Oh, that's funny. That happened one time. My sister and my brother and I, there's three of us, right? We all were in elementary school at the same time. Yeah, cheers. This hot sake. Come by. One of us always had a key to the house, and one of us would always end up losing it. So we'd always have to break into our own house. That happened all the time.
I've done that a lot.
We had to break in through the window, and we knew how. So we were like boosting each other into a window, and we're in elementary school. So we're probably like 7, 8, 9 or 8, 9, 10. And some white lady drives up and is like, "Do you guys live here?" It's like, really? Do you think three Mexican kids are just breaking into a house in broad daylight? Like, you really think that's what's happening? You don't think we probably live here and we're trying to get into our own home? Like, how is that your first guess as just a passerby? As these three little Mexican kids are breaking into a house in broad daylight on a corner house lot where everybody can see. And I remember thinking that, like, when the lady said it, I was offended. And even though I was a little kid, I was offended. Like, what did you think we're doing? Like, what was your other option? Besides that, what was next? You know what I mean? Like, honestly, what did you think was going to happen next? But, you know, that's very few, dude. I'm pretty fucking lucky. Very few encounters.
Me and my brothers got jumped outside of a club one time. And then people called the police, or the police showed up. And they came through and they just cuffed me and my brothers. And, like, you know, not asking any questions. I literally was holding my brother back just because, you know, the emotions was running high at the time. And the cops showed up. And, you know, I get the sigh of relief, like, yo, it's over. Like, we're done. The cop hops out the car and really says, "Nah, let him go. Let's see what he's going to do. You're a tough guy, right?"
What?
I literally have my brother in both my arms and I'm just
holding. It was over.
Like, because it's just like we was literally getting jumped by, like, it was roughly six of us. I came back outside, so at the time it was only five of them. Wow. Like, so I came into the fight late. And so it's them versus roughly 15-ish, 10-ish people. It's like 10 minimum.
And the police was actually challenging him?
I think it was like probably 15 people, but I think five of those people was just swinging because other people were swinging. I don't think they were on teams.
They weren't on your team.
They weren't on our team.
That's all you know.
And so,
melee style.
Yeah, just once it goes down, you just got to be like, yo, you're too close.
Yeah.
too close, man.
Have you ever accidentally hit somebody on your side during a fight? I've seen it happen.
I know it happened.
It hasn't happened to me, but I've seen it happen.
But
because two people don't know each other that well, you know, they're in the same group, but we never met. So from behind, you just kind of turn around. Ah, I don't know you. I've seen that shit happen. That's funny, dude. To me, it's just funny.
But no, but then we got cuffed immediately, thrown to the ground, and then I started laughing and I said, "It's fine. My mom's a lawyer."
Wow.
Immediately uncuffed. And they walked me to the side and said, "All right, tell us what happened."
Ooh.
And I was just like, "But if I didn't..."
Now the tables have turned. You should always just say that.
If anybody is listening to this, I do advise anybody. I never had to prove it. It happens to be true. But if you get jammed up with the cops,
just don't
try it. Throw it out there. Just be like, "Hey, good. It's fine. My mom's a lawyer.
Yeah, don't say my wife's my a mom's lawyer. A lawyer.
My fiance is a lawyer." Just throw it out there. Yep. It's not gonna hurt.
You can't say I'm a lawyer.
Don't say that. Can look you up.
Yeah.
But anyone who they can't document immediately, you can just be like, "It's fine. My fiance's a lawyer."
It's gotta be someone direct. It can't be like my cousin's a lawyer.
It can't be your cousin, too far away.
My aunt,
cousins can be anywhere.
Mom, dad, wife, husband, fucking maybe my son.
If you got gray hairs, go for it. Your son's a lawyer. Just throw it out there and just see how much different their demeanor becomes.
That's great advice. The Pet Peeves podcast does not just teach you about pets.
It at least makes it so that you at least jump up. If you black, you at least jump up to white trash. Like, it's a bare minimum will get you up there.
You'll get some. You at least they'll hear you out.
Yeah, they're actually gonna look for a crime. That's what they're gonna look for a crime.
Yeah, what happened? What happened?
They might actually worry if you're innocent or guilty.
That's awesome. That's terrible, but it's awesome. Well, shit, man, it's that time. We got to start talking about pets. You did tell me you grew up with Great Danes, and you were gonna tell me a story. So, Great Dane, Yemma, what's the story?
I have some. I loved my Great Dane. Her name was Jessica, and whatchamacallit. I had it since I was like, when I was like four. I used to ride it like Tommy on the Rugrats.
Uh-huh.
Like he used to ride Spike. I used to be able to do that shit with my Great Dane.
I love Rugrats.
She was so awesome.
And I love Great Danes, man. They're just giant. We were talking about it a little bit outside, but we have to talk about it more. It's just a big issue, dude.
They have a lot of issues.
Mm.
Luckily, sadly, my mom was afraid of it, so she gave it away.
Really?
Like, it's fucked up. She gave away my dad's dog, and he was a Blue Dane, which, from what I understand, is like a rare.
It's rare.
Like, yeah, it's harder to get. And so it was a purebred Blue Dane, and my mom gave it away when my dad went to Nigeria for
She was afraid of it because it was aggressive or just because it was big?
Just because it was a big dog, and it was my dad's dog.
He was gone.
It was my dad's dog, and it would listen to me, but I was 6 or 7 at the time. And so it would listen to me, but also... I couldn't really.
Yeah, if it really went crazy.
But it was a big dog and it used to jump on you or whatever. But if you're afraid of it, it's going to be scary. But it's he's never, from start to finish, never bit anybody.
They're fucking only known as being family dogs. They're just like, that's what they're known for, that they're gentle giants. But they're big as fuck. So
one time we left her outside in San Diego. Got to watch my dog beat up some coyotes.
For real?
Yeah, like in the backyard.
That's
like,
awesome.
Because, yeah, we just had it in the backyard, which, you know better.
Now you know better.
But, like, at the time, I was...
You didn't know there's coyotes and mountain lions and bears and
animals
shit.
Animals came, and so it was just like, they started fighting. I'm 7. And so it's like, I don't know what to do at all. And it's only, like, a solid 20 seconds.
Wow.
But it's 2 coyotes, and they pulled up. And started to get down.
That's awesome.
And
that's
then they were like, nah. And they ran. It's like,
because a coyote is small compared to a Great Dane, right? Coyote, it depends. The coyotes
Coyotes are just like I want to say German Shepherd-ish size, but
some of them, but like but they could be small.
But they're not even,
they're like 40, they're 50, heavy. 60 pounds.
Yeah, they're not as heavy as a German
Hell
Shepherd.
Hell no.
I mean, like, high, like,
and Great Danes are known for like they fight bears and they fight fucking lions and shit like that.
Yeah, and so I got to watch her handle that for like, yeah, in like dope. 20 seconds. And then go back to sleep. She wasn't even tripping, like, if they was going to come back or nothing.
That's what they bred them for.
Yeah,
like,
she didn't try and get in the house. She was really just like, chill. Nah, they good. They learned.
They're not coming
They know
back.
What's up.
They're not coming back. I'm going to go back to sleep. But that's why you want a big dog, so they're not little pussies. Like, this dog, my little dog, Angelita, I really got to worry about another dog killing her or fucking, you know what I mean? Like, that's very possible with her. That another dog, because she's little, and big dog, little dog happens all the time, like randomly.
I wish that you guys could see how big this dog's eyes got when he said that. I mean, another dog could just kill her. It's a possibility. This dog's head shot up so fast. Like, wait, what you mean?
You didn't know? A big bird could take you away.
Oh, yeah. Eagles, birds are terrifying.
Yeah, but I have to worry about like coyotes and mountain lions. Like, if when we take her hiking, I have to worry about that shit. That something could pop out of the woods and jack her easily. And then fucking snakes, of course, we worry about that. But I think of like, if there is a mountain lion around, it's not going to be us that attracts it. It's going to be my little dog. That's why it's going
to
come around.
And you're going
to
have to be. You're going to have to jump in there.
I have to jump in there. I'm going to have to claw its eyes out. Like, I feel like enough people have survived mountain lion attacks that I feel like I could.
I mean. If it's come, because it's not going to come for you, so it's not.
No, I'm fighting it. It's not fighting me.
Yeah,
that's
and
the thing.
So it's gonna run just because it didn't
expect.
That's not
to
what
get,
it came here
yeah,
for.
It didn't expect
the
that.
Easy
picking.
The easy W.
For sure, and you know, you go for the eyes, you go for the throat. Like, don't fuck around.
Oh yeah, you got to fight. Nah, you got to go full dirty. If you're not, you got to fight animals dirty as shit.
Yeah, man.
Punch them in the neck as many times as you can.
Dude, their trachea is exposed. They have a undulating. Pendulous fucking trachea. You just grab that shit and crush it.
Yeah, which sucks for it, which is effective against somebody who's on all fours, nigga.
Yeah.
I will choke you to death.
Absolutely.
Immediately.
Dude, it's the way to do it. I'm telling you. You want to end any fight quickly, fucking choke
punch
him
in the neck. Punch
dude,
him in the neck.
Chop him in the neck.
Punch him. I've been hitting the neck one time. And
it sucks.
It was with my friend in high school. We was going body. And he hit me one time, and he was like, oh, my bad. And I was like, nah, it's nothing. I threw like three more punches. And then, nigga, I almost went sideways. I was like, and I got so lightheaded. I was like, it almost fell out.
Oh, no, that's no joke. I remember, like, I had, like, my friend, man. We were just fucking around. And I chopped him in the throat. And he couldn't breathe for a while. And I was like, I killed my friend. I felt so terrible. The way he was looking at me, just, like, he wasn't even mad. He was scared. And I was like, I'll never fucking do that again.
Because
ever.
It's scary because it's not, when you're getting choked, it's like, all right, I'm getting choked. It's like your neck is loading.
Yeah.
I should be able to. I should be able to breathe soon. So, it feels kind of like it, but I'm not doing it right now.
It'll come. Yeah. The urgency is there. But when you get chopped in the throat, it's like you don't know when it's going to come back.
That's the thing. It's the whole feeling of like just being like, yeah, like what the fuck did you, where did you put, like, like you're trying to find your keys. Like, where the fuck did you put my voice?
Oh, man, it's such an awful thing. But when we were kids, we do all kinds of stupid shit like that. Did you ever like, oh, man, play the faint game where you make each other faint?
Nah.
Yeah, some dumb shit we did too. Stupid shit.
What was that? You
like push on each other?
Out?
No, you push on their chest. You have them take a deep breath, hold it in, and then push on their chest, and it forces all the air up, and then they can't. It like strangulates them. It pushes all the blood up, and then they pass out, and then they wake back up, and you get all tingly. But you know, we were probably teenagers doing this shit at like high school football games and shit. Dumb shit.
I know people who did it, and I was just like, y'all. And I was like, no, you're not gonna make me pass out. No,
yeah, dumb shit.
Why that doesn't sound fun to me.
Nah, like you do it to a couple people and it seems funny, and then somebody does it to you and you're like, oh, that's not funny. Like, we got to stop doing that. Like, that is not funny. Like, that is what I learned. The first time it was done to me, I stopped doing it to other people. And one time me and my sister did it to my brother and he passed. He didn't believe us. He's like, no, that's not real. It wouldn't work. It's not going to work on me. And we're like, all right. And then he fell and he almost hit his head on the ground and we caught him. And I was like, damn, we're so dumb. We're so fucking dumb. Kids are just dumb. Like, let's try to kill each other halfway. Ha ha ha.
So dumb. Look, the world before internet, you had to find a way to pass the time.
Yeah, man. It was just boredom and there was no fact checking.
You just heard shit. Be like,
let's give it a shot.
To figure out whether or not it was true. There was no way to find out it was true. In retrospect, the dumbest game in the world was Bloody Quarters.
Oh, where you flick the quarters at each other's knuckles?
Yeah, it was so, Bloody Knuckles. It was Bloody so knuckles. Dumb.
Yeah, it was
like
no, there's no winner here.
Because I was fine when they used to do like the one where you used to punch each other's knuckles.
Yeah.
Like,
what about hot hands?
I was fine with hot hands. I was fine with the blood, like when you was punching Bloody Knuckles.
Yeah.
And then it was like, nah, you played quarters. And I was like, we're not even testing who's stronger.
No.
You're just cutting each other's knuckles apart.
Who could bleed more?
Yeah. I'm not playing this game. I never played that shit. I used to hang out with the skate kids.
That was their game?
Like, yeah, and I was like, no, you guys, this is what you guys do. You guys love scrapes.
They just like bleeding. Yeah, they're like hurting each other.
Just falling and bleeding
cutters, you know? They're like low-key cutters. You know, people that fucking slit their wrists to feel alive?
That feel alive.
Yeah, that's the skaters.
You feel something.
I can't feel any emotions, so I'm just going to bleed. Here, we got a refill. We'll take a break in a second. Come by. But so far, so good. So the Great Dane, what was her name again?
Jessica.
Jessica. So your mom gave away because she was scared. Was your dad pissed? Or he understood?
No, he was pissed.
And then no new dogs after that? No smaller dogs?
So that was my first dog. At the same time, I had a cat named Gidget. That's when I found out that cats ain't loyal. And so she got stolen by the neighbors. You know how much it hurts to just watch your cat next door, nigga?
Yeah, I bet.
Chose up.
That sucks. I'm sad for you. And fuck that cat.
Fuck that cat.
What's his name? Gidget?
Gidget.
Fuck Gidget.
And then...
You're not going to be in no Goon Squad episodes, Gidget.
No cats will ever be featured... No, actually, I like your cat.
She could be on the Pet Peeves podcast. She's not necessarily Goon Squad affiliated.
You know why?
Yet.
Because I fuck with black cats. I know a couple of white cats that's soft, nigga. I know a couple white cats that's sweet.
Yeah, they get a pass.
I know a couple white cats... That's sweet as cupcakes. Yeah, you know who the fuck you is.
Yeah, that cat never was nice to me. I'm not going to name any cat cupcake names, but that cat wasn't never approached me.
I never even met it. I ain't kicking it with no cats. I ain't cupcaking with no cats. It's not a thing I do.
My pets all really loved Yemo.
Black cats.
My cat, my dog, and my bearded dragon all like Yemo. The bearded dragon ran at Yemo. He doesn't do that to anybody but me and my wife. Like, he just doesn't do that. He ran at Yemo 3 times. It was incredible.
And I was not a fan.
No, he didn't like it, but I liked it. It was cool. It was cool just because I like to see how people react around the pets and how my pets react to people. They just definitely need socialization. My pets just can't be meeting me and my wife every day. They need to meet other people so they don't act scared. So, you know, that's all I look for in my pets, that they act how they act around me, around other people. And that's exactly what my dragon did, and I'm happy for it. But no exotic pets in your life history?
No. No, I had a after my Great Dane, we got a Pomeranian. And so, yeah, I had a white Pomeranian.
All right, totally different than a Great Dane. Opposite spectrum.
And that's when I figured, all I really need from my pets is to know when to come and when to go away.
Okay, yeah, sure.
And she could do that. And so, I miss you, Nkita, RIP.
No, I feel you. That's all I tell people, your pet only needs to know a couple of tricks. Come, stay, go lay down, sit. Down.
Yeah, just know when I want to play with you and know when I'm done.
Yeah.
That's it.
Come sit, stay, go lay down.
And poop where you're supposed to.
Absolutely. Potty training and then leash walking is important. People always forget. You should train your pet how to walk on a leash. They shouldn't pull. The retractable leash has ruined everything.
People is terrible with... I was doing WAG.
Oh, yeah. You have some experience.
I judge the fuck out of people by how well trained their dogs are.
Absolutely, fuck.
I judge if you have ever had a WAG walker, if they really are good at their job, they judge the shit out of you by how your dog walks when you're not there.
Hell yeah.
Your dog has no home training, no manners, doesn't know a fucking thing. It just be wandering the fuck around, and it's just like, yo,
where's your manners?
Yeah, why don't you know how to do this?
What are your parents doing? Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, I feel the same way.
Yeah, it's really annoying because, yeah.
No, leash walking is huge. It tells you everything about the animal's respect for you. Like, if it's not going to listen to you while you're doing it a favor, like walking it, then you know what I mean? Like, it's not hard to train your dog to walk properly on a leash. They love it so much that if you just do it right, they'll do it right. I promise you. If you make your dog stand on your side while you walk it, it will stand on your side while you walk it. But if you let it pull, then it's going to fucking pull. Trust me.
I don't understand why there's so many white people that want to have supremacy over other humans, but won't put that supremacy over their fucking animals. Like, just take, like, your animal is not a child. And guess what? Your animal actually is a child. Teach your kids some shit. Stop telling you're letting your kids raise you.
Dude, let's say for the sake of argument that it is your kid, which it isn't. Your fur baby is a better analogy. It's not a baby. It's not a human. You should treat your dog like a dog. I understand the analogy that it's like family, like my dog. I love my dog. It's like family. But I treat my dog like a dog. A dog should not have free will. The dog should be trained.
I 100%. I started accepting that. I don't believe in dog years anymore. I feel like it's a misnomer because just because they die faster, time doesn't move differently for them.
Not slower, right?
So age is still a real construct.
Time is a real construct, right?
Time is a real construct. Age is a real construct. And so since time is a real construct, animals are just stupider than humans because they die faster.
They don't have enough time to learn it all.
Yeah.
If you had an 80-year-old dog, I bet he'd be pretty smart.
Yeah, the only reason that dogs are dumb is
they never make it past 15.
Most dogs you know are 7 years old. That's it. They've just been dogging it up for 7 years. And then,
yeah, they base that age thing on sexual maturity. That's what they're basing it on,
yeah.
Which is odd. Yeah.
And so I do, like 100%. You know what animal I respect most in the animal kingdom?
Let me guess, horse.
I'm terrified of horses.
Okay, what's next?
I don't respect them. I'm terrified of them.
All right.
They also are the most punked animal in history.
They have been punked to death.
Fucking bucks.
Bucks?
Bucks.
Like a deer? Like a male deer?
Deer, buck.
Okay, they're pretty ruthless.
So they have the highest fatality rate out of like any animal in the world.
What do you mean? They kill the most or they die
the most?
They
kill the most humans.
Oh, yeah. They're pretty fucking gnarly.
Yeah. And so,
they throw down.
Yeah. So keep in mind, we've been getting antler bucks for generations.
Mm-hmm.
We killed out the buffalo. We killed out some like rhinos, nigga. They're not even on the continent.
Yeah, they
got
woolly mammoth and fucking the saber-toothed tiger.
Somehow, bucks still out here, still getting hunted. And they out here just being like, nah, fuck that shit.
They be
shit.
Smashing. They have plenty of babies.
They be charging cars.
Oh, yeah. Fucking up hunters.
They be fucking up hunters. And if you ever see, they let the wife and the kid walk in front. And you're supposed to be aware because the buck is, if you don't see the buck is somewhere else watching over.
Yeah, the doe and the baby
which,
out there.
Which sounds like a straight up strategy for if somebody's going to snipe my kid, nigga, I need to be able to figure out where the shooter is so I can get that.
I need
that,
the whole fucking.
Yeah, and so I think that somebody's been talking to they don't get the whole thing, but
I think about that a lot, like that there's so many deer, like that, why? It's like, why have they survived so much?
They still out here, man.
They're out there. Like, there's like, oh, there's no wildlife, but there's deer. Yesterday, Diana and I went on a ride in the convertible. Like, Yemma and I went for a ride in the convertible, so we had fun before the podcast. My wife and I went on Mulholland Drive. And right up there, right where there's big-ass fucking mansions and houses and where you can see the city down below, there was a giant deer in the middle of the road. So I'm like, all right, if there's deer, there's fucking mountain lions. You know what I mean? If there's fucking deer, there's bucks. Like, they're just everywhere. Like, no matter what, they're there.
From California to Georgia, you can find a buck with antlers. And guess what? He's with the shits.
Yes.
He killed... It's him... Yeah, it's them and hippos, man, that
have
the most bodies.
Hippos are the most aggressive. Let me tell you a story. I took a stand-up comedy class at the Second City in Chicago, and one of the guys in my class had one arm and half a head. Like, his one half of his head was completely fucking gone, all right? So I assume cancer, right? He must have had amputations and tumor removals and stuff like that. So I was right. He had cancer, and he was in South Africa getting treated, like, with medicinal herbal medicine. And I might have his story a little bit backwards, but he did not lose his arm to cancer. while he was in South Africa, he was on safari and he was a guide, and a person fell off the boat, off the raft, and he went to go grab them, and a hippo bit his fucking arm off.
What happened to the person? Did they get the person who fell in?
Yeah, the person who fell in, they saved, yes.
Oh, I was like, I know, yeah. I was like, did the hippo get then?
No, the hippo got the guy sacrificed his arm to save another person.
Yo.
And dude, I was in the room with him for a couple of days, assuming a lot. Right? Assuming a lot about his condition. I think I know about medicine. You do not. And then his first time up on stage, when it was his turn to like do his bit, he talked about that. And he was brand new at comedy. Everybody else in that class had never done comedy before. It was the worst idea. I spent fucking almost $350 on a class that was like not for people who have done comedy before. But man, they definitely sell you on it. If you're going to do stand up, you don't need classes. But this guy, I'm glad I met him. He taught me that about the hippo thing. Then he also told the whole class a story about how Eastern medicine cured his cancer. That in Western medicine, they left him for dead. They were like, they gave him like 6 months to live because of his cancer. And then he went and he said he took like baths and leaves, and they did fucking like ceremonies where they put like fucking had him smoke crazy shit like peyote, and that he was in the Amazon, that he went to the Amazon and he had like witch doctors cure his cancer. And he said it fucking worked, that he's been cancer free, that when he did the chemo and the fucking radiation, that shit didn't work. And then he went to the rainforest and he said he ate clean, vegan, all plant diet. And they said they would give him these plant concoction drinks that had a lot of like alcohol in them, that he would be getting fucked up, that they were smoking weed, and that he would take baths in like greens, like they would give him these like vegetable baths or whatever, and it cured his fucking cancer. And I was like, man, I believe in that shit too. Like, it's got to be something to it, like that it's got to be more than just medicine, you know.
I think lots of cancer is just like concentrated stress and evil.
Absolutely.
Like
negative energy and stress.
Yeah, like we be doing a lot of shit that is just all the times you be swallowing your emotions and don't cuss your boss out.
Yeah, man, I was about to say that. You just put the words in my mouth. We should take our break right now and get back to that. You just took the words out of my mouth. It's great. Let's take this break. We'll get back to it. I was about to say, man, like it's nothing more than like being at work. What's up, Pet Peeves podcast listeners? If you or someone you know has a cat, and you notice this cat drinking from the bathroom sink or from the bathtub, it's because cats prefer cold, fresh, flowing water. Most people leave a bowl of water on the floor all day, and cats don't like to drink it. This causes a lot of cats to develop kidney diseases later in their life. We'd like to recommend a plug-in automatic water fountain to our listeners. The Purr Power Pet Fountain is perfect for cats or dogs. It has a centralized fountain, which is great because we had one where it was on the side and my cat and dog would make a big mess. The sound of the water flowing will attract them to the fountain and they can drink fresh, flowing water all day. It does come with a filter that needs to be cleaned and changed from time to time, similar to a Brita water filter. Use our Amazon affiliate link in the description to purchase the Purr Power Pet Fountain, and you will help support the Pet Peeves podcast. I recommend this for any pet owner out there who wants to prevent kidney failure and kidney problems in their cat or dog, and for people who just want to get their cats out of the sink and out of the bathtub. Use the Amazon affiliate link in the description and help the Pet Peeves podcast grow. Thank you guys, and let's get back to the episode. All right, we're back from the break. Thank you guys for staying with us, and we hope you buy that fucking pet fountain. You know, the pet fountain, it's the Ur Power Pet Fountain. It's an automatic pet fountain. I promise you guys it's a good purchase. I would never push a product that I don't think is actually good for your pets. Yema, do I not have a pet fountain?
Yeah, you do. You got that Ur Power.
There you go. So I use it. It works. My animals drink out of the fucking fountain, and yours will too. All right, so, you know, this is coming to the end of the podcast, so we do have two segments. So one segment we have is, did you ever consider or do you eat vegetarian at all?
Not more than a day at a time.
Not more, but you will take breaks from meat?
by like a day.
Intentionally or because you're trying to portion, ration?
No, not sometimes it's poverty, but most of the time it's just trying to, you know, not eat meat every day.
I mean, has it always been like that, or did you like learn something that changed your eating habits?
Just, you know, knowing stuff, you learn that, you know, it's not, yeah, at least your body is supposed to take a break from it every once in a while.
Absolutely.
It breaks down harder than plants do in general.
But you're not interested in ever being a vegan or a vegetarian?
I'm Nigerian. I literally grew up in a household where it was disrespectful to put like a plate of food that didn't have meat on it.
Okay, okay.
So that's,
yeah, that's Mexican culture.
Yeah, that's a cult. Yeah, so since that's a part of my culture, it's hard for me to be like, nah, nothing.
Yeah, that's a lot of cultures.
Out, though, that when I actually lived in Nigeria, that the portions are a little bit different.
Sure.
Like, it's really like a drumstick.
Yeah, it's like a piece of meat.
Yeah, like, yeah, not like a leg and a thigh and then... Yeah.
And then a side of fucking ground beef or with, you know, inside your mashed potatoes or whatever. I don't even know if that's a dish, but you know, like where people have meat as their main dish and a side dish and a snack.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. We just went from carne asada to shrimp.
To shrimp and pork sausage.
Yeah.
We went from steak to shrimp and pork. Did we eat any chicken? Nah, I don't think so.
But there was corn there.
There was corn. No, we hit a lot of food groups. It was so good. I'm so glad that I get to eat like delicious food. Like, what if my wife was picky? That would suck. That would suck dick. So happy to have like a variety of foods and then have like try, you know, like tasting food. Like, speaking of eating animals, man, I didn't used to eat seafood until I lived in South Korea. And just being drunk, you'll eat pretty much anything and drink your ass off late at night. And Koreans will put like a bowl of random like seafood stew in front of you. And there's nothing more delicious when you're drunk than like spicy soup.
Ooh. Yep. Nigeria, my cousin Oba, pepper soup. You just take get croaker fish and pepper soup with yams in it.
Dude, it's not it just satisfies in a way. And it makes you feel better in the morning. You're less hungover. You got your hydration, you got your salt, your electrolytes. You know, there's a lot of salt in soup. That's what's in fucking Gatorade.
Out.
Yep. And then the spiciness, dude. And then, dude, the food culture in South Korea is on point because of the drinking culture. Like, drinking people like to eat delicious food. So if it was just legalized for people to drink a lot, like drink outside, the food game would step itself up. And that's why the food trucks and food carts in South Korea, dude, that's where dope food is too. Man, food doesn't need to be in a restaurant. I feel like restaurants are not what they used to be, dude. Restaurants have like dropped the ball. You might as well have like kitchen cook, like homemade food.
I have a joke about it where I say that I don't want Mexican food if it doesn't have a bee in the window. And that I walk out of a restaurant if they make the food with gloves on.
Gotcha.
Like, yeah, just like there is a certain level of when you're trying to like a restaurant that takes itself very seriously and wants to be like super professional.
Yeah.
Above,
cookie cutter.
Yeah. It becomes like that's trying to, there's lots of restaurants that may not be franchises, but they built themselves because they want to be a franchise.
Yeah.
Like, and so like, they're not doing it off of
love.
Yo, this is what I do. Passion. I wake up and I chef. Like, this is my restaurant. And that's what I do. Like,
yeah,
this
no one, yeah, no one makes me do it. I don't have a time clock. I don't have, no, this is just what I do.
Yeah, where it's like, yeah, I'm feeling just, you know, doing the Bob's Burger and just being like, yo, I got this burger in my head I'm about to just throw down on today. Like, people who take their stuff seriously enough where it's like, yo, like, I've just been kind of, like, where they still play in the kitchen and do that kind of stuff. Lots of that's dead. Lots of people are just trying to, like, make stuff that's, they think they thought of a good gimmick. That's why they in business, is because they have a good gimmick.
Yep.
More so than
yep.
know how
I hate that
than
shit.
They're into.
I can't hate on it, but I don't like it. Like, if you're going to a business and they're brand new and you're like, what are you selling? And they're like, oh, health shakes. Like, why? Because it's trendy. What is, like, did you grow up on health shakes? Did your mom used to make you health shakes when you were a kid? Like, is that really your passion, or because you really like used to do CrossFit and then you opened a gym and that didn't go well for you, but everybody at your gym liked shakes. So you're like, fuck it. I'll turn my CrossFit business into a shake business. I don't feel like there's any heart in that. And something like that kind of food, that's not really cooking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anything that comes frozen or processed or pre-cooked. Like my wife used to work at an Olive Garden, and since Olive Garden is a chain, she said everything comes frozen or in buckets. Like that's that cooking. It's just heating shit up. It's not the same thing. And it's that's what you're doing at your house. Like if I'm coming over for dinner and you tell me you're cooking for me and I see you pop something in the oven to be heated up, that's not cooking.
Sometimes I've given restaurants second chances because their food was so bad. Not necessarily because it was like bad, but like it tasted like it just wasn't that great. But But you can tell that it's like, yo, this wasn't the best plate that they had out.
Yeah, sometimes you just order the wrong thing.
Sometimes you order the wrong thing, but sometimes when you just be cooking, some days when you're actually cooking and you have actual chefs back there, some chefs aren't as good as your other chef.
Yeah, no.
Sometimes it's not going to be on hit.
No, man.
Sometimes
like,
it's going
to
be more.
You have
on
to
hit.
Have realistic expectations. Like, first of all, like you shouldn't eat something that you don't think is going to be good, right? And that's just like you go to a restaurant because you like Mexican food, so you go to a Mexican restaurant. You like Indian food, you go to an Indian restaurant. You shouldn't really be like throwing your darts blind at a menu. You know what I mean? You should know what you like and then have realistic expectations. Like, it's hard to make chicken tikka masala. It could be your favorite dish, but if you see it at a menu in a diner, maybe you shouldn't order that. You know what I mean?
Like, there's this place on Pico called Stevie's.
Stevie's?
I love it.
Okay.
Right? But I've gone there. The first time I went there and I got some wings and they were kind of bland. And they were the chef special, but they were hot. The fucking greens were fire. Okay. And like the rest of it was fire. And I could just kind of tell that they knew what they was doing because everything else tasted so good.
Okay.
And the next time I went back, the chicken was fire. Like, gotcha. And then, yeah, where it's just like, yo, you know what? Like, when people are really chefing, it don't taste the same every time. If you go to Olive Garden, they want it to always taste the same. Like, and so they give you this frozen trash that, yeah.
Like McDonald's.
Yeah, like McDonald's. It's always going to taste the same no matter which McDonald's you go into.
And that's why, I mean, I believe in the crave. Like, I'll crave McDonald's and I'll crave White Castles. I know they don't have that over here, but I do crave, like, certain fast foods or even, like, junk food, chips and Flamin' Hot Cheetos, shit like that. So I believe in junk food as an option, but it shouldn't be pushed off like real food. But anyway, we like way off topic, like of talking about eating animals. So anyway, the segment is, if eating animals became illegal, would you be understanding or would you fight it? Like, say they just said, hey, killing for food is wrong. Here's other options. We've proven this protein option is just as good, if not better, tastes the same or better. It's now illegal to eat animals for food.
There are protein options. I'm 3 years away from ever eating an impossible burger. I'm like 3 years away from eating an Impossible.
You haven't eaten one?
Nah, I don't know what they are.
You're not close yet? You don't want to get cancer?
Yeah, I don't know.
Autism or some shit?
Yeah, I just don't want it. I don't want it. I don't know what it is because I've eaten one of those beet burgers.
Mm-hmm.
Like the burgers that, you know, they're just made out of beets and they try and make it look like a burger patty. And when you bite into it, it looks like blood is everywhere.
Why do my pets love you so much?
Because I have a good soul.
They remember you from the last pass through the pearly gates or whatever, wherever souls cross over.
Great, great person energy.
Look, the dog is right next to him. The cat was just trying to climb up his leg. The bearded dragon is running after his feet. It is pretty. You're like that guy Tarzan on Instagram. You ever see this dude?
Animals like me.
I could tell.
You're pretty good. Yeah. That's
good energy, solid, steady energy. That's what they like. They like confidence.
Yeah,
it's pretty simple. Let's take this shot. This is like hot sake. It's not warm anymore, so be careful. Cool down. We're good.
Come on, man.
I know.
Determined?
She wants food. Babe.
It's fine. I'm not tripping.
Can you feed Pebbles? She's all over us.
if it was illegal. I won't eat an Impossible burger. I'll eat a beet burger.
Thank you.
I don't want any. I honestly and truly, I'm not interested in any scientific replacement for meat. Nah, I will take whatever you can conjure together and season it to taste like it however you can get it.
So you'd rather just eat the fucking beets?
I'd rather eat the beet burger and just like, yeah, why are we going to the Impossible burger? The beet burger tastes a lot like a burger.
No, I've had, what about soy? How do you feel about soy?
Soy, because it's soy is you just processing, like it's not the same thing as engineering it.
No, it's just processed. But people don't like soy because they say it like makes you produce more estrogen, so that you shouldn't eat a lot of soy during your like formative years. But you can eat soy all you want if you're like older. If you're a man, but I don't even know if that's like proven. I think that might just be myth also. But I still don't think it's bad. Like when I tried,
honestly, I moved to Nigeria.
You'd be like, fuck it, I need my meat.
Yeah, just like a number one thing for me in my life is food. If I can't eat how I like to eat, I get grouchy fast.
Oh, shit.
Like,
well, we tried to go vegan, vegetarian for a while, and it was all right. I mean, like the vegan food is not terrible, and the like soy options are not awful. Like soy riso, like soy chorizo is pretty good. And, you know, soy hot dogs and, like, the Impossible burgers. And we bought Impossible meat patties. And it's not terrible, but you do get tired of it. And then you look at real meat and you smell real meat and you, like, crave it. It's not the same.
It's, yeah, just trying to, I don't mess with a lot of pork anymore. Like, I'm not going to buy, I don't buy pork bacon. I'll eat it if it's of it.
What do you buy? Turkey?
I buy turkey.
Turkey bacon?
Turkey bacon is great.
It's really good, yeah.
Yeah, until somebody puts real bacon next to you.
You forget.
Yeah, you completely forget, and you live in it, and you're fine with it until somebody puts out some pork bacon.
And not like and the shit you get at McDonald's.
And you immediately are like, oh, yeah,
that's why it's so good.
This wasn't bacon at all. You immediately remember, I haven't eaten bacon in years. And so, yeah.
Like, for sure, it's like that. Because you try not to. I mean, I don't know how I ate so much bacon when I was a kid. I don't get it. Because now, like, I can't. It's too greasy. It's too fatty.
It's very greasy.
Yeah. And I'll eat, like, a couple sticks and pieces, chips, whatever the fuck they are, strips. And my stomach will instantly start hurting. And I'm glad. Because otherwise, I would smash them.
Yeah. It's, yeah. Like, I don't know how people used to live life.
Dude.
Like, the amount, I drink water really a lot.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a key.
I avoid, because I eat so much, I feel like I'm winning by like being like,
hey, you hydrolyze, dude.
I drink water, so instead of getting my calories from
people
drinks,
don't understand that, man. Your hydrolysis, like your body's gonna use all this energy breaking down food that it could be breaking down fat. You know, that's like people don't realize that your metabolism doesn't have to be used for breaking down shitty, fatty, heavy ass, sugary food. Your metabolism could be burning fat if you just drank more water.
And
drink more water. It'll help break down your food. It helps break down your food. Your body gets to use that energy somewhere else. It doesn't cause you so much gut stress. It's going to give you colitis and colon cancer and fucking, dude, so many people have colon cancer, and it's because you had chronic diarrhea and that wasn't enough alarm from your body to tell you to change your eating habits. You just had diarrhea every day and you just thought that's cool. Like, that's wild to me, man. People are so dumb. You don't get colon cancer overnight. You had diarrhea for years. You know how often you should have diarrhea? Never. You should never have diarrhea. If you have diarrhea, something's wrong. You're sick. And people just have diarrhea every day. Every day. Sorry.
To hear somebody go on such a passionate rant about diarrhea is hilarious. I don't know.
It's because I tell you, it came from animals, dude. It came from pets. People will come in and be like, my dog has diarrhea from time to time. Your dog's not supposed to have diarrhea from time to time. And then I realized that people, because they have diarrhea from time to time, they think it's normal for their pet to have diarrhea from time to time. And it's not okay. It's not okay. I learned that people have diarrhea regularly when they try to convince me that, no, it's okay. He gets diarrhea sometimes. I'm like, no, that means sometimes you're feeding him shit he shouldn't eat. You know what I mean? Like, that's the same thing with you. But you know, you accept it. You eat pizza, you eat McDonald's, you eat Taco Bell, you get diarrhea, you know it's going to happen. Your dog doesn't know that when you give it people food, it's going to get diarrhea. You're like, it's like giving somebody crack. Like, it just doesn't make sense. But everybody does it. Everybody feeds their pet from the table.
That's why I drink water.
Yeah. Bring it back.
Drinking soda.
Bring it back.
Because water makes it so I don't get diarrhea.
Yeah.
And instead of my body having to break down food by figuring out how to get this water out of some juice or soda, it has water on deck to work with.
To work it all out. Hence the your power fountain for your pets, man. Let them drink a lot of water, then they can digest their shit. Less likely to get diabetes, less likely to have kidney failure. You got to entice your pets to drink
water.
Stop
giving your cats Soda.
No more soda for your cat. Soda cat don't exist. Look at my little Black Panther over there. She's the shit. Because she's cool with my bearded dragon. That's my one of my favorite things about her. She doesn't kill him. And she's a murderer. Look at her. She's trying to kill that strap. She kills all the bugs. She eats all the fucking bugs that she catches. She just eats them. And this little one, she just doesn't do anything. She's afraid of everything. She's afraid of the vacuum.
Mean.
Okay, so the last segment is people's questions from the internet. All right, you ready? These are pet questions from the internet. So people are asking me about their pets in 4th of July and what they could do about their pets freaking out from the fireworks. Really, the best option is just be there with your pet. And this episode is going to come out after the 4th, so that kind of sucks. But really, be there with your pet is the best thing. Sedatives work, but, you know, your pet's still going to have a panic attack. And then what else? Somebody asked me.
Don't. I'm against giving your animal a sedative.
You know, a lot of people are. I'm not. Go ahead.
Two reasons, or at least for the 4th of July.
I gotcha.
Just imagine that the reverse scenario. If you were afraid of lightning or thunder, right? And then lightning and thunder is happening, and your parents just gave you something that paralyzed you instead of making you feel better.
Yeah.
And we're just like, hey, yo, shut up. And be paralyzed. You're going to be afraid still, but now you're not going to be able to move.
No, you're hitting the nail right in the head. So that's why people hate it, because your pet still panics. They just can't move. So like if you measure their blood pressure or their heart rate or their respiratory rate, they're still panicking. They're having a panic attack, but they can't physically move. So it is a good option if your pet, like some animals have severe reactions. They start digging at the floor, digging at the couch, digging at the walls, licking themselves obsessively, or it's like spinning and spinning in circles. So if you have a dog that has those kind of severe reactions, but if your dog is just scared and panting, you should just be there. Yeah, like a parent. Like sometimes you're a parent, you can't go out. On the 4th of July, if you have a pet, you can't go out. You got to stay home.
Yeah. And so...
Simple solution.
I can understand it hypothetically from the I don't want to go out on the 4th of July and I don't want to fuck my shit up. But also, have a backyard.
Or a crate. But then you have the dogs trying to like bite themselves out of the crate and they rip all their teeth out. Like that happens more than people think. They'll put their dog in the crate and then leave. And especially 4th of July storms, things like that. And the dog will try to bite their way out of the cage and rip all of its teeth out. Dogs don't stop just because there's pain and blood. They just keep going. There's something that you learn in school that you put peanut butter on the edge of a knife, a dog will keep licking it. No matter how much it's cutting their tongue and making the dog bleed, that they just are dumb. They'll just keep licking the knife. And it's like something they teach you about their obsessive compulsiveness of a dog. They're just obsessive compulsive. If it feels good, they're going to keep doing it regardless of the consequence. And it's like, okay, you cannot trust your dog at any time alone, really. Like once you get a dog, you really have to be there or shit's gonna go wrong or they're just too stupid. Like you said, it's a 7-year-old. My dog's 5 years old. Why should I be leaving her home alone? Would you leave a child home alone at the age of 5?
Even if you have a smart 5-year-old. Smart 5-year-old is almost worse than a stupid 5-year-old.
And then I have a 1-year-old cat and a 5-year-old dog. We put them together to stay friends and keep each other company while we leave. And what are the chances that a 1-year-old and a 5-year-old are not gonna get into trouble?
One of them's going to have a good idea, and then the other one's going to be like, but what if we did it off the couch? And then it's like...
All right, let's give that a shot.
You're a genius.
You're onto something here. All right, this is the other one. They said, why do owners look like their animals? Why do owners look like their animals? I don't know. I think it's true, though. I think people do start to look like their pets. I think it's just like they start to like mimic your facial expressions and you start to mimic theirs, maybe. Or maybe it's just all in our heads. They also say you start to look like your significant other.
Based on that idea, your souls start to merge.
It's possible. I mean, I believe anything when it comes to like pets and their ability to connect with a human. It just seems uncanny. Like I just worked with so many animals where like there's a lot of dumb animals out there, but every once in a while an animal like gets it. And you're like, oh, there's something more there than just like we're not that much better or smarter than them.
That's what I'm saying is if you've ever met children, if you meet children, when you start getting to 8 and 7-year-olds, you start knowing the ones who are like, oh, yo, you get it.
Yeah.
You get how the world works. You get what it's like. You get what it means to be an 8-year-old.
Yeah, you're right.
All the way through. Mm-hmm. And then there's kids who are super slow and they're super... And they just kind of skip 10.
Yeah.
Like they skip 10 and 11. They're 8 until they're 13.
Yeah.
And then they start being like, Oh.
Yeah, you know, you're fucking right, man. I always said that. Like, you, like a kid starts to develop their personality around 7 and 8. That's when they start to develop the personality, but some a little younger. But that's like at 7 or 8, you kind of know who a kid's gonna. F4, you start to see it, but by 7 or 8, it's locked in.
You start knowing who the kid is.
Yeah, especially if you deal with a lot of kids, you see the ones that like you said, that they get it, and you can reason with them like you could any adult. Yeah, honestly, you can talk to them directly, and they're gonna pick up what you're putting.
And you're
down.
Gonna have more problems trying to talk to them like a kid.
Absolutely,
they're too smart.
It's not gonna work.
Yeah, they're gonna be like,
they're gonna put you in the category with everybody else that they think they're smarter than.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what kids figure out fast, dude. Who's smart? Who's dumb? But so do animals. Like animals, they fucking learn, man. They know what they can get away with. They learn really quickly about habits and consistency.
Yep.
And that's how you beat any kid and how you beat any animal, with consistency. You beat them with consistency. As an adult, you should have the capacity, the determination, the willpower, the perseverance to be more consistent than a child, a baby, or an animal, right? That's my opinion.
Unpopular take.
All right, well, we fucking crossed our finish line, dude. So is there anything you want to plug? Anything that we can go watch or anything online like that?
Well, you can always catch me on the Goon Squad comedy podcast.
We just got a big milestone today. We got invited to a podcast stand-up comedy festival, man. Southwest, what is it? Black, what is it? We got to look it up. Now I feel like an asshole.
Yeah, why would you do this to us?
It's all right.
Edit it. I want you to edit this.
It is the Northwest Black Comedy Festival. I had most of the words in there, dude.
I'm pretty sure that's more of a reflection on me, seeing how it was the Black Festival.
No, but we're super excited. Thank you guys for the love, you know, everybody that's showing the Goon Squad love. We really appreciate it. You know, we do really believe strongly that this is something that's deserves following. You know, so all you Pet Peeves podcast listeners out there, follow the Goon Squad podcast. Follow Yemma. You know, I'm going to put all comedy, his... Go ahead.
Comedy Yemma Yem. That's two Y's touching. Comedy Y-E-M-A-Y-E-M. And then if you ever want to see one of the shows that I host that will more than likely feature the Goon Squad, you can also follow Any Means Comedy at Any Means Comedy on Instagram. And you can find whatever I'm up to. This is really fun, man. I appreciate you.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck with you, Pebbles, the long way.
Uh-huh.
I need you to know that. That's my black cat. Because you ain't soft, B. You ain't sweet. You ain't... You cool.
No, she's hard like a pebble.
Yeah, you cool like a, you hard like a pebble, you're not soft like a cupcake.
Exactly.
Man, I fuck with you.
I'm so glad you picked that up. And shit, dude, Yemma was on the cover of the Wall Street Journal. Don't forget, go fucking find his ass.
You can
protesting.
Catch me. Oh yeah, you can catch me in the streets trying to save the world. Arrest the killers of Breonna Taylor. Arrest the killers of Elijah McClain. That poor girl who was in the military.
Yeah, Vanessa Guillen.
Vanessa Guillen.
Yeah, fucking go look up those stories. Everybody, you know, this is a fucking weird time, but we all have to, like, don't forget. Like, just because that shit isn't trending anymore, life, things are changing, but we got to keep, dude, we got to be like Hong Kong, dude. We got to keep fucking pushing.
We got to keep exposing just evil, man. It's no more, no less. If you ever watched the Star Wars, you already know what it is. They ain't got no Jedis. What's good?
No, they don't.
They ain't with...
No.
They with the Sith. They ain't with the shits.
Fuck yeah, man. I mean, I can't tell you how long... You know, I've been waiting a long time to do this with Yemma. I looked at... We were trying to do this in April. So thank you for coming through. Glad we finally got it. COVID kind of set us back. But, you know, we're going to get all the goons on. You've been a great, amazing guest. Thank you for coming through.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. So you can find the Pet Peeves Podcast on Spotify, Anchor, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and YouTube and others. You know, there's a bunch of random ones out there that you can find the podcast. Thank you guys for listening. Follow the Pet Peeves Podcast on Instagram at Pet Peeves Podcast, on Twitter at Pet Peeves Pod. You can find me, Albert Escobedo, on Instagram at Albert Escobedo, on Twitter at Albert M. Escobedo. You can find my full hour comedy special on YouTube, free to watch, called Don't Judge Me. Thank you guys for listening one more time. See you on the next episode. We'll be right back.